and welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviews, in the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I'm your host, Cara Westworth, and today I'm rejoined by Ari for part two of our review of The Last Samurai.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, no worries. Nice,
that huge break that we just had.
Yes.
All right, so we'll get straight into it. If you haven't listened to part one, I highly recommend, like I strongly recommend you do that, because that makes no sense. So if you want to listen to a part two of a two-part series, then you won't know what's happened in the movie. Unless you've seen the movie, still just go listen to the first part. Where we did leave off, in case you've forgotten, because it would have been a week for you guys, is that they're going back to Tokyo. So Katsumoto and the samurai have been granted safe passage back to Tokyo. Nathan's going to go back with them. So this is basically, they're going to release him now. And there was, what we didn't mention was that there was a kind of a little bit of an emotional farewell but with Taka and her son.
Yes.
Like her son gives him a scroll to take with him. And yeah, it's kind of, there's like, oh, is that when he says goodbye to her and she's having a bath in that?
Yeah, she's
spring?
In the creek. And yeah. She's got like her little shoulder out. Yeah. And he's like, oh. She's like, oh, sorry. And she apologizes to him.
So he's not looking at your sexy shoulders.
Why? He shouldn't be there.
Also, how good does it look like to have a bath in that?
I don't know. Maybe because it's the middle of winter here. Yeah. But I was just like, that's terrifying. It's so icy cold.
If it was icy cold, maybe not. But
if it was
in the middle of summer and it was
beautiful.
Not.
Beautiful.
Like, oh, nice little waterfall. Yeah. Beautiful.
Tom Cruise just strolling by.
Oh, no, my boobs fell out. So yeah, they get to go back to Tokyo.
Is this where Katsumoto and, or is this later on? Katsumoto and Nathan have like a little passive aggressive, good, okay, fine. Like, because he's basically saying this is where Nathan can go back to his people sort of thing. I mean, it probably wasn't passive aggressive, but the way I saw it when he was like, good, and I was like, good.
I took it more as they were like,
well, this is like the end
of
us.
This is the end of us. And they don't know how to, like, technically a captive and captor situation, but they actually don't feel like they've become friends. So, like, it's kind of like, we don't know how to kind of.
Yeah, so, yeah, it probably was like that. But I was like, I mean, when someone says good, good. I was like, okay.
You're like, oh, no, they're angry.
I'm fine.
So he's released, what's he saying, Simon Graham, the photographer, translator. He's actually taking a photo of some geishas. Geishas?
I think it's geisha. Like, we think about how it's spelled. Like.
Yeah, geisha. Yeah, just a reminder, not Japanese experts by any stretch.
Would like to be at some point. But.
We're trying our best, though. So he's taking some photos of these two women, and it's kind of a cool shot where you see how photos set up like, but then you actually see in the camera where it's sepia toned and
I
reversed.
Must have completely missed it. I'm like, really? What happened next?
Because he likes some shouts and alarm, and then they're like, oh. And so basically the samurai walking, riding through on their horses, which would be a very intimidating presence, especially because
it had just been outlawed.
Yeah, it's just been outlawed. So. You know.
Illegal.
And also they're intimidating. Like, even if they weren't.
Yeah, because they're samurai.
Yeah,
they're so intimidating.
Big horses just trotting through, like, the main street. Like,
I wish they'd intimidate me.
They can intimidate me all the way to the. So, yeah, as they separate, they sort of nod at each other. Nathan meets with Bagley, who talks about they got all these new guns from the USA, which are basically like machine guns and stuff.
And that's what I really liked, how, like, you really notice in this movie how all their weapons are brand new. Everything's shiny and new. Like, it's never been used before. It's all, like, new.
Super new. Like, probably super new even in the US.
Latest.
Whereas they probably would have been using, like, I think at that first battle, they were using, like, really old tech, basically.
Yeah,
the guns they have, but now they actually have really good ones that actually reload really easily.
With a bayonet.
Actually have bullets instead of fucking, like,
gunpowder
and pellets and stuff. Like, Jesus.
I just don't know how they had any wars with those back then.
They just have a surplus of guns that are already preloaded, but you probably can't, because they probably just fucking
fire guns with you.
Set off and look at it wrong and it's fucking blowing up.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know anything about guns, so I feel like a gun expert would probably be able to weigh in more about that.
Yeah.
But it just seems stupid.
As Australians, we definitely have no idea.
We know. We definitely
very
don't.
Very little. Yeah. And obviously Bagley's kind of like, you're back, are you? Well, I guess they treated you well. And, you know, savages with their bows.
Oh, yeah, because he was like, oh, you're alive.
Yeah.
Like, he was surprised at that.
Yeah.
I just love him. He's so smarmy and he's got this voice.
And I just fucking punch him.
Love it.
Stop it, Bagley.
Love to hate
shit.
Him.
Yeah. Katsumoto meets with the emperor, who admits that he is basically being bossed around. Like, he.
Yeah. And he's growing a little beard, the emperor.
Yeah, he's got his little
shitty beard.
because he looks so young.
He's such a little baby. Yeah. And he speaks very young too.
Yeah, very, very softly spoken. I think this is like a bit of a criticism of Katsumoto is that the emperor is imploring him for advice and Katsumoto won't give it because he's...
Yeah, because of the ranking.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm like, that's all being thrown out the window, dude. Like, this guy needs your help and...
You could have an influence here. Yeah. You could change how things are going.
But he's...
He just
follows the
goes
protocol.
To the ground yeah. and...
Keeps bowing
is that,
and
is
like,
that supplication? Yeah, I guess that sounds like a nice word for that.
Yeah.
I just love, like, I don't watch movies for plots because I struggle understanding what's going on. But I just watch and I just love, like, the scene there, like, on the bridge, the emperor standing, he's down with his beautiful robe out. Like, just the whole, even the way the way his body is shaped on the, it's just visually good for my eyes. I just love it.
I also love the emperor's giant orange pants.
Oh, what? I missed them. What the heck? I missed them. Now I'm going to have to go back and rewatch for those pants.
So good.
Damn it.
Nathan meets up with Amira, who demands information about Katsumoto, but Nathan just pretty much won't give him any.
Oh, he wasn't going to give him anything to begin with anyway, but now he's just like, yeah, nah.
He wants Nathan to lead the Imperial Army now against Katsumoto. Nathan is reluctant, but basically Amira just like forcing his hand.
He's like, I'll give you a new... He's manipulating
him. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Manipulating him.
Yeah. See, not so much blackmail. Yeah.
Manipulating. Why can't
we
say that?
I don't know.
What the... We can say supplication, but we can't say manipulation.
We've been saying too many like Japanese names and our brains are...
We're just stupid white girls.
Switch between the languages. When Nathan leaves, Amira's like, obviously doesn't trust him and is like to his offhander.
His
like,
beautiful advisor that has no name but has a birthmark on his face. Yeah. And he's just stealthy.
If he goes to Katsumoto, kill him.
Yeah. I was like, ooh. This is where things are getting like a bit more tense and
this is where
exciting.
We see all the power games being played around the emperor to maintain a level of power that is probably undeserved for a lot of these people.
Yes.
Nathan runs into Graham. He's very, very excited to hear about all these laws that have been passed against samurais and things like that. And as if to demonstrate this example, like what he's talking about very vividly, they come across Nobutada.
Yes. He's quickly surrounded.
You're walking around and then some imperial army officers, I'm not sure.
Well, they're just basically cops.
Yeah.
I figured like that's...
Big fucking bullying cops. Still fucking
They're still assholes. Yeah. Back then.
Back then, Meiji. Now, whatever.
Yep.
They surround him and basically like, don't you know this is all illegal? And they end up...
Samurai. Yeah.
Chopping off his...
But then Nathan jumps in to try and stop him because like we're going to chop off your top knot, which was very symbolic for the samurai, and they have beautiful hair. Yeah, Nobutada's like no, and then Nathan jumps in,
gets freaking knee in the guts,
gets in there. They all he's like stop, no, don't do this, and these guys are like who the fuck are you? Yeah. And they just turn all their guns to him, and then Nobutada
tries
kind of pulls
his sword
out a little bit, like this is what I got.
Yeah, but Nathan's like no, like we don't want it to go because they both die, like.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah. So they end up cutting off the top knot, which is very...
It's very aggressive.
Yeah.
They force him to the ground.
It really
pull
hurts.
His head up.
So it doesn't matter that it's a sharp sword. Like, that would hurt.
Yeah, they were hacking at his hair, and then they just throw the top knot on the ground.
Yeah.
And no one picks it up.
Yeah.
Which is really sad, because I feel like if I saw that, I would pick it up and, like, try and give it back to him. I don't know. Like, just a symbolic thing, you know? And it was just devastating to Nobutada. Like, his face.
Yeah.
He's the son of the samurai lord.
Yeah, like...
He owns a fucking village.
But the problem, I guess what the thing is, like, it goes to show that like, at home he has power and then comes like, he's no power. Nothing. He's like, he's nothing. He's
And because he's samurai and his entire way of life is against the law now.
Yeah, which would be a fucking like,
he still looks good.
Yeah.
His hair looks really good still.
Yeah. And I was like, just like a little shoulder length and
kind
of shaggy cut.
Yeah.
Graham also notices after like this interaction, he sees them being followed by a couple of...
They were not very good at following stealthily though. They never are in movies and I love that. I love that. You know, like when a car's following another car, they do the same thing. Like they're right there.
Oh, yeah. I watched them the other day and they're following it. I'm like, and you wouldn't miss this. Like I would be like, the fuck? Somebody follows me for more than like, and follows me a couple of turns that are unexpected. I'm like, I'm clearly being followed.
So, I do the same thing. And I start like driving erratically and like turning down places I don't need to go to try and lose
them. If I have a cop behind me at all ever, I'm like, I'll pull in away.
I did the same thing the other day because the cop went past me, turned around and started following me in Gowrie. And I was like, they're clearly after me. So I like went up this random road. I'm like, oh, kids. Like I'm quietly panicking. I'm trying to be really calm.
Yeah.
We're just going to go see what's down this road. I'm like, eyes on the rear vision mirror.
It's like, what if I accidentally committed a murder?
What if I actually have a gun in my car and I didn't know?
What if someone put a big baggie of heroin in my car? Jesus.
I didn't know that got there.
literally don't.
I don't all the time.
Yeah, it's being followed. I don't know if Graham actually informs thing of this, but at least like it's been noted that they're being followed. Now there's a council. So the Emperor's like, I really want you to be in a, for the council meeting and everything, which happens, and it's all being led by Imura, and it's just
he's so manipulative. Yeah. He's the one in charge.
Yeah,
and he shouldn't be. I didn't realize he was a chief. I thought he was just the dude that owned a train. Because that's all I got from back then.
He's an advisor, but that's...
I just found that out before when you told me he was an advisor. I was like, oh, he's not some rich dude that owns a train. Because that's also believable.
But that's also what he was. Like, I don't know what his position was before things that are changing.
He's based on a real person, which was... I didn't have time to research into that.
No.
But they had like the... he looked similar.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really cool.
Did you see what the actual Emperor Meiji, what he actually looked like?
No. Was he cute?
Exactly the same. Oh, okay. The actor was like perfectly cast. It was wild. Really? Yeah, they had the council meeting. Katsumoto's basically denied entry because he's a sword and the outlawed. And I also read that when that happened, swords, all weaponry had to be like handed in.
Handed in, yeah.
So all people's heirlooms were like
confiscated. Oh, God. Why does the government suck in like every country?
Yeah,
ever?
Like let them have like keep them as heirlooms. You just be like kind of like
above your mantelpiece.
Yeah.
Above the fireplace.
It's really sad.
That is sad because like Taka had her dead husband's armor and his sword, and that was so symbolic to them.
Yeah. Also, a kick-ass thing to have on display in your house.
That was so cool.
Katsumoto is basically like, I'm not taking orders from you, mate, but I'll take orders from the Emperor. Yes. But the Emperor isn't basically not allowed to speak. And so
he... I don't know if it was he couldn't, but I think he just didn't know what to say. Yeah. That's what I took. He just didn't know what to say, so he didn't say anything. And then Emperor's was like,
his voice is too pure for this.
Yes, because he's a god, because they did mention that earlier, yeah, I think on the bridge. They're like,
yeah, you're a living god.
You're a living god.
Like,
which I don't know. I feel like Katsumoto also not believe no, they, that, but they respected all that.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
At least. And that's why he wouldn't give him the advice because, like, he was so high up.
Yeah.
He's literally god status. I'm just a lowly lord of the samurai.
Meanwhile, he's like this nervous little boy, like basically, like he's goes like, I actually need help.
Has he gone through? Well, he had to have gone through puberty because he had a beard, but it didn't sound like he did. You know, like he was a baby,
and he just needs help, and he's been sheltered his whole life. Like,
and the people that are advising him are dicks.
Yeah, and they know that they're manipulating him on purpose.
You're a samurai, help him.
So Katsumoto leaves because you know he can't enter with the sword, and the emperor won't give any other information to help him out. So yeah, he has to leave. So that's kind of it. Like that's when he realizes, okay. Well, I'm fucked. So he goes back to his...
Is he like in a... He's kind of like low-key imprisoned, but not. Like he's kneeling there and he knows it's the end, like for him.
He's meditating and he knows...
Because he's like, not going to give up being a samurai.
And I think that whole interaction kind of made him realize, okay, this is the way it's going. Like,
yeah.
I thought I could come here and argue my case, but I can't.
Yeah, and also he thinks Nathan has gone back.
Yeah, because this is at this point...
They've parted ways and...
Nathan is packing to leave and he's... Immediately has started drinking again.
I know. That's what made me upset. I'm like, come on, man. You're doing so well.
Bagley comes in, like, brings his pay. Like he got paid for the entire time it was captured and everything, which was, like, a pretty significant amount of money. And Bagley's like, well, that's enough for you to crawl back in a bottle for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, no, that's all I'm
And he's like, eat shit, you fucking bastard.
Yeah. And then he's holding the kanji that the little boy was practicing writing.
And he apparently said samurai.
That's what Tim told me. And I was like, Tim, what the heck? So I had to pause the movie and Google it to make sure that's what it was. So there is accuracy in that. That is the kanji for samurai.
I didn't check that as I read it. I'm like, I assume that's true.
Well, I don't because I'm like, these white people are telling me something about another country.
Live, laugh, love.
Yes, live, laugh, love.
I'm sure it was. I'm going to have that saying, but not actually have that saying in your house if you have a Japanese.
Have it in Japanese.
Of it, that'd be great. And Bagley, in the classic like trope of a villain, starts revealing too much information, which is like they're gonna kill Katsumoto.
Yeah,
he's lucky to live there through the night, and it'd be so easy to defeat them. So whatever.
And there was a part where just before Bagley leaves, and he says to Nathan, "What is it about your people that you hate so much?"
Yep.
And I was like, "Let's just where can we start? Where do we start?" And I just love that because I was like, "Yeah."
And that's
where
this movie comes
into that. They're addressing
this. I think Nathan realized like, I don't want to go back home. Like, there's nothing for me there. I actually felt more at home here in Japan.
Yeah, and it's like, you are the reason.
Yeah.
You are this like the perfect example.
Because he keeps carrying on about how they're savages and everything. And he's like, well, I just had an experience, like a profound experience living with them. And
yeah, but like, yeah, meanwhile, Bagley has been living in Japan with Japanese people and he's still...
Big piece of shit.
He's a big piece of shit.
So after that, he doesn't reply and he's just like puts his last drink down. He's like, actually, no, fuck this.
And he looks at the little samurai kanji and smooths it out in his suitcase, which I thought the respect was really.
Simultaneously, Omara's man with the birthmark on his face.
Yes.
Does go and you think, Kazumoto's going to die because he's meditating and he can basically just slit his throat. But he actually gives him, puts a sword in front of him and says,
the seppuku blade.
And why don't you do this and like save us the trouble? And I think.
And it's definitely put in Katsumoto's mind. Yeah. Like he's looking at it and he's like, what other option do I have? Like this is what's going to happen. Without question.
Nothing that I do at this point will leave me with honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been dishonored and his dignity has been stripped from him. It's very, very sad. So Nathan, now that he's had this realization of what he needs to do, he heads towards Katsumoto. Obviously, he's being followed by all these men. He's completely unarmed. So when they circle around him, there's like five of them. He's like, goes to grab his short sword or whatever. And he's like, oh, shit.
It's gone. Anything. That's what I really love because he just stops suddenly. And I didn't realize there was all these other people around him. But I could see the guy that was following him behind. He just like stops in the middle of the stairs behind him. I'm like, you are like, if he turns around, he can see you. But there was also way more going on in front of him.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
So this sword fight fucking rules. Like,
it was very good.
If you haven't seen the movie and you're listening to this, just at least go look at the YouTube of this. There's lots of videos where actual people who know how to sword fight, stunt doubles and things like that, watch this and review it. And I've never seen anyone say anything bad about it. Like, Tom Cruise is so good in this. Like, that's so well choreographed and it's so, like, accurate.
I love the respect that the director and the producers gave to everything in this movie. It was really well, from what I could, as a non-Japanese person who's very critical of stuff like that, it was really nice to see that.
They
which is made stupid because really it should always be like that, but it was just nice.
But history proves that that's not usually how it happens
in 2003. Like, it's good.
Like, if it'd been a lot shitter, you could have forgiven it still a little bit because
for the era,
for the time. The big sword fight, like the way he gets the sword the first time is he just immediately lunges to the guy and just grabs his arm and uses that guy's sword.
Yeah, but I love how it happened.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you realize it hasn't happened yet because he's thinking about, like, he's doing no mind and he's having a moment to think about it. And I think it's really good.
I guess that's the way that they do it, kind of go through twice. Like, he pictures it and then he actually does it, or is he just reflecting on it afterwards?
Because I think he might have been reflecting because he'd have like the hair in his face and it was really dramatic.
And when he ends up with two swords and like he's.
Yeah, the two swords.
And he's
that
like
was cool.
On one knee and he's holding and like it looks really cool. Then one of the guard,
with the birthmark, he
says.
I hate that he has no name.
Yeah.
He deserves more than that.
He ends up beheading him. Like, he's like, he says something to him. Like,
he's really snarky.
Yeah, and Nathan just ends up chopping his head off, which is very cool and dramatic.
Yeah, because you don't realize what happens until he slumps to the side and then his head just rolls off. You're like,
Also, how violent is this movie?
It's very good.
It's so, like, it's great. Like, it's not.
There's a lot of heads
gory
rolling.
Necessarily.
No,
but there's a lot of extreme violence.
That's what I was disappointed, among other things, with the 47 Ronin.
Yeah.
Because they kept, like, cutting away when there could have been blood and guts and, like, a bit more detail.
We'd all seen Kill Bill 2 by then, surely.
Yeah, like, exactly.
We knew what to expect.
Come on.
After this, Nathan uses Graham to get into where Katsumoto is being held. And he's just, like, keep walking and me really, like, holding up the thing.
Oh, that was so cute. He was so brave.
I know, that'd be terrifying because all these armed guards, and he's like, just keep walking on this piece of paper saying, Omura has asked me to take photos of the captive before he's executed. Let us know. And they're like, who's this man to Nathan? and he's like, this is the president of the United States.
How dare you show some respect? Yeah. And this poor Japanese guard is just like, he's trying to do his job, but also doesn't want to be disrespectful. And then in the background, shuffling along with the camera, I was like, who is that? Is that Nobutada? But it's not. It's my man. Scorpion, what's his name? Ujio.
Ujio,
I just kept calling him Scorpion the entire way through it.
So they get him out. So, I mean, the guards are only tricked for a little bit. They get him in there.
Yeah, because someone shoots. I know that's later.
Oh, they come. Well, they come and when they realize, they come in pretty quickly. And, like, Nathan's like, are you sure you don't want to just, like, fucking bounce out of here?
Yeah, I love that. He just walks in. That was that was good.
And Katsumoto is like, face bright. And he's like, it's my friend. That you left.
Bestie, you're back.
So, there's a big, they have to escape, and it's very, very dramatic because, you know, there's a lot of armed guards and these guys have their swords.
And their guns, and they know how to use them at this point.
And doing pretty good. They're almost out, and then.
And this is good because they had, like, the bows and arrows, and I just thought this was really cool because mostly in movies you see, like, arrows hitting people and stuff. But in this movie, did they seem more powerful? Like, it just seemed more like you saw the arrow get the people, and it seemed like the arrows were stronger than the the guns and the bullets. Like, yeah. It just, well, the way
you're comparing two forces. Like, one is that's dedicated their lives to this. The other guys are still pretty new to it. Like, they know how to fire a gun now.
It's just showing that even though you have a gun, you're not.
Yeah. That just, yeah, gun
better at it mean than yeah. that you're going to do any well. Yeah. Yeah.
But unfortunately, this is the sad part where Nobutada is shot, like, grievously injured, and Katsumoto and him embrace and are like,
that's his kid.
Yeah, his son's been shot and, you know, tries to take him away. And Nobutada's like, you need to leave me. This is where it ends for me.
But yeah, because I pulled him behind a tree and I thought he was going to die there.
Yeah, but no, he has a final stand. Samurai. And, you know, basically he's going back at them with the bow and arrow and then eventually swords. Distracts the guards enough so that the rest of the team can run away.
Going across a bridge, getting shot at.
Yeah, shot multiple times. And it's with very it,
and he's still shooting his arrows and he pulls out both his swords and he's like, he's charging. Holding them up above his head and he's getting shot, like, and he's just going. I'm like,
at least, and like everyone runs away and Nathan stops and turns around and like witnesses.
Yeah. And I was, his dad should have seen that. But then Tim said no because his dad saw him one last time at the tree.
Yeah.
You know, that was his last memory of him.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, fair enough.
You don't need to see. Yeah. I thought too, but like realistically, how do you want to see your.
Yeah.
Handsome child.
Beautiful, handsome child, even though he's got his top knot removed, still looks great.
Yeah.
Covered in blood.
So, yeah, it's really sad.
And then he's clawing his way along the bridge.
Yep.
Oh, no, that was when he got shot the first time. Yeah. He's, like, trying to get away. And
oh, my God, Ken Watanabe's face and all this. Like,
these tearing up.
And I'm like, stop it,
this
Ken.
This man, what an actor.
I'm feeling things I don't want to feel.
Oh, I felt all those things and I loved them.
Yeah, so he's shot to death. They're returning back to the village, a point where they're obviously camping out overnight, and Katsumoto is kind of like, I think this is it, basically not saying it overtly, but that considering basically Nathan talks him out of it, like,
I thought that was okay.
Yeah, like, he's not saying that you should die. You feel
die without honor.
Die without honor, but could you not do it in a way that makes
just
it
take
makes
everyone down with you?
Well, it makes a point. Like, yeah. Like, you didn't go out fighting, because they would have felt like they won if he just disappeared.
That's right. He referenced Custer. Oh, no, but then he started talking about, Thermopylae or something? It was Sparta, right?
Yeah, it was 300. Like,
yeah,
that thing at
300. I was like, Tim, 300. Is that Sparta? Is that the Spartans? He's like,
So it was basically they're the Greeks. The analogy versus about. Because I watched the movie 300 recently.
Did you? Yeah, me too.
Fuck, it's bad.
It is terrible.
I loved it so much.
With this weird filter across it the whole time.
And also how they portrayed, like, so the Greeks are the white people versus all the Arabic Middle Eastern people.
Yeah.
And how they're all disgusting scumbags and the leader's like some sort of horrible homosexual.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I was like, this is the most fabulous man I've ever seen in my life. But that Snyder actively said, I wanted all the straight boys in the audience to like hate this leader of the, and I'm
what
like, disgusting.
Fuck? Yeah. Everything was just so unnecessary. Like, I get they were supposed to be violent and brutal because that's what they were like. But like,
at the time when I saw that movie, Jesus. I was like, this movie rules. And now
it was great. Yeah. We showed it to Vinny because like, you got to see this movie. And I was like, okay.
So
and like the
I like
the deformed one as well.
Oh yeah,
it was like fuck me. If you're not this perfect white man, get out of here.
You know what's his face? He played the main.
I can't remember. Jared Way. No, Jared. Jared Butler.
Jared Butler.
Are you visualizing Jared Way in that?
In the emo kid. Wow. He completely destroyed his body, like working out for that to get the muscles and everything. So, wow. I mean, I like,
look where this got you.
Yeah, not worth it. But anyway, he talks about that. So if you're wondering what we're talking about, it's that battle of those 300 soldiers versus a million Persians. And they basically, even though they all died, they kind of technically won because they just ruined.
Because it said they fought for 3 days and it took away the Persians' will to fight anymore. Because they were like, what's going on with these guys?
So he uses that and Katsumoto. I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
I like the idea of this. Because, like dying in battle to them is a very honourable thing to do. And, why? Don't don't give up yet. So they go back to the village. Kind of a nice moment. Like he tells Taka, who is Nobutada's auntie, like that he's died. And like it's very formal. Like they're all kneeling and this older son's there as well.
Yeah, they're all in different parts. Like they're not all sitting together. They're like spaced out and facing different directions.
Yeah.
Which I also found very visually appealing.
Very
I really
nice.
Liked it. It was
I don't know
it seems symbolic for something, which I don't know, but I liked it.
And the little boy is upset, really upset, and runs away. She's like, that's because, he finds it, the samurai life really hard to understand.
Yeah, and I liked that acknowledgement.
And he's like, it's because, I was the cause of his father's. So like, no, it's because he doesn't want you to die too. Like,
yeah.
Because he asked him, are you going to fight them too? And he's like, yes. And he's like, why? He's like, because they come to hurt the thing that I've come to love. And I'm like,
It's well done. It's good. He's not just the heroic white guy come to save everyone.
No, he's like, I mean, we joke about him being a wee, but he's someone who I was reading. Actually, I read this review on IMDb that was like 10 out of 10. Like the way they described and talked about like all this stuff was 10 times better than anything I've read about it. Like they just sort of explained it all so well.
Yeah.
But basically, like, this is a man who has spent his entire life not fitting in and feeling like basically a reject.
And not liking what the white people were doing either. Yeah. Like not agreeing with the decisions that were made.
And he's finally found somewhere that he feels at home and he feels comfortable and at peace with. And so, yeah, that's why he's suddenly gone like, it's not about, I'm a white guy who fetishizes Asian women.
That's
I just have found my people, basically.
Yeah, that's right.
And that which transcends race in his
case. Because that's what also, because when he was, when he first arrived in Japan and there's like a beautiful geisha in like a little weird, in a box.
Yeah.
I was like, can you just be carried around like that in this little box, like a window?
Yeah.
Like a stagecoach without wheels.
What do they call it?
I don't know. It's
there's an actual word. I shouldn't know this because
It's an actual thing.
It ends with C. Fuck. All my fucking nerdy fantasy books, they talk about it. But yeah, it's an actual
thing. And I was just like, I would get claustrophobic if I was on that thing. But I was like, he didn't even look at her. Like he was not looking at anything like that.
No,
which I thought was really cool.
He just happened to fall. He fell in love with their lifestyle, not with.
Because it's a beautiful woman that just happened to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And oh boy, are there some meaningful looks between him and Tucker. Like,
yes,
It's all that like that. Old fashioned, like, you see an ankle and you blush kind of thing. So he also has a really nice moment with the older son. Son has sort of stormed off outside and he goes out to follow him and has a little talk to him and he's like, I just don't understand, like, I don't want you to go. And also, like, I'd be so scared to die in battle. And he's like, oh, yeah, so would I. He's like, but you've been in so many battles. He's like, I'm always scared. Like, it's okay to be scared.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So things that he probably never learned from his dad. Probably learned the opposite.
Absolutely.
But now he's.
Because they're learning that it is an honor to die in battle, which it is for them. But they're not addressing that. They're probably shitting their pants. Which a child, you would.
Yeah. And I'm sure most of the samurai, like, even though they're like, it's an honor to die, you're still scared.
Fuck, who wants to die?
Yeah. Exactly. Who wants to die? No one, hopefully. So they're really wholesome moment. He really bonds with the oldest son. So they're planning. So later on, they're planning the battle sort of stuff. Apparently, it's going to be 500 samurai all up versus however many people in the Imperial Army, which is probably way more, like 100,000 or something. Yeah. So there's a nice training montage. Love a.
Yes, I like that.
A good training montage.
Yeah. Getting the swords ready and their armor. And
you see all the like the master swords craftsmen. Apparently, one of them was a real.
He is an actual master swordsmith. Yeah, and so he's just like acting in the movie. And he's bowing to, like, this actual swordsman is bowing to a guy who's just an actor.
Yeah.
I was like, I would feel like shit if I was like, no, let me bow to you.
Oh,
like,
so cool.
He makes, like, these actual, like, he's, like, a very high rank master swordsman.
Yeah.
I read that. I was like, oh, my God.
I wonder if, like, he made any for, like, I bet Tom Cruise probably has a really cool
sword. Oh, 100%. Yeah. He does. He's kept all that. He's got the armor or something in his house.
His tacky little sections beneath him for his props.
Like little glass cases.
Yeah. Like, they had one of those moments where he sees her undressing and they kind of stare longingly at each other, but nothing happens. But then when the day for the battle comes,
she calls to him. He's going somewhere else. And she's like, come here, please. I need to talk to you. And I was like, oh, God, what are they going to do? I was like, don't ruin the movie.
But what she does is she gives him her husband's, armor.
Yeah.
And which is... like, I guess a symbol of that she, not that she's in love with him necessarily or anything, but it's just like.
It's respect.
Yeah, respect. And she's probably really horny too. It's been a month since
he's not gross. I'm sorry. You don't think he's gross, but.
I don't think he's gross.
Guy
but to like a very different culture, like this fucking white swine.
Like the other samurai were like, he's really good, but he's still ugly.
Yeah.
I was like, that's good. That moment, I didn't really, I was like, oh, of course he's going to have the armor.
Yeah.
But then I was like, when you're in those countries, like I've heard about like here, you wouldn't wear samurai armor or a kimono. But in those countries, it's like an honor to be included and they love to see you in it.
Yeah, that's a cultural.
Like in India, they'll give you like a sari to wear to a wedding.
Yeah, cultural exchange. So that's when
the
culture
that's it.
Actually gives you
the thing. And I was like, well, that's up to her to give that to him.
And so she has found herself caring for him. She would want him to be as well armored as possible.
I think it's also really because she didn't get to, because she dresses him.
Yes.
In all
very sensuously.
Very slowly. And I think it's a moment for her because is also her. I mean, we don't even know if she was even in love with her husband.
Yeah.
Maybe she wasn't.
She possibly wasn't, because they probably
just. Because a lot of the time they didn't have any choices. But anyway, yeah. Pretend she was in love with her husband. I think it was also symbolic for her to be able to dress someone in his clothes one last time, which she may have done in the past.
Yeah, I think so.
So I think she got she let herself get like caught up in it, which is really beautiful.
Mm. And there's one point where she like, I don't know what underwear they wear in Japan back then. Like she's like wraps him in the coat and then she bends down like to his groin level to do it up. And I'm like, there's dicks right there. Like,
it's right there.
They do kiss very briefly.
It's like a brush of the lips.
Yeah.
Which I liked that. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, let's quickly have sex because you're never coming back.
Yeah.
I liked it.
That was just, I think I like you. And he's like.
And then he's just like, what the fuck is going on? Is this right? Like, should I be doing this? And then she killed her husband.
When she sort of pulls away from the kiss, she goes behind him and gives him like
a back hug. Yeah. And that was really sweet.
Yeah.
And she just looks so. He goes, another man that I care for off to battle to die.
She's like, this sucks. Why are we fighting against this again?
Thanks, Katsumoto.
When he walks out, he has his fine armor on. And I love how Ujio comes out and he's like, and you're like, oh, yeah. It's well put on.
Yeah.
I'll accept this.
Looks good. Looks. Oh, I know. Yeah. I liked that.
Like, he's like, kind of a little bit like begrudgingly like, okay, if this is fine. You look good.
You look good.
He gets his own proper samurai sword.
Yeah. It was made. Was it made for him?
Yep. Made for
because
him.
Because it's been
and
written
it
on.
It says, well, I belong to the warrior in whom the old ways have joined the new.
Which I loved that.
Yeah. That's nice.
I think it's really well done.
And like the fact that they've thought about it and like, we know that he is.
They're not just.
Us.
Yeah, yeah. They're accepting.
So yeah, this is where the battle happens. There's a lot of detail. It's like it's hectic, but we'll get through it as best we can. Like I said, you haven't watched the movie, like you're crazy. You need to go watch it. So like when they meet with like the formal part of the before the battle actually commences, where the two heads meet and Bagley is there and he's like disgusted that
he's like,
Nathan's
what the fuck are you doing? You're in a samurai. That's the dude you killed and you're wearing his armor.
But also,
what are you doing?
That fucking meme that's them writing to each other and it's like Bagley going, fucking weeb.
No, I haven't seen that. That is exactly what he was thinking.
I'm going to post that after I did this episode.
That is exactly what he was thinking, because that's what I was like, he'd be like, what the fuck? Like, because especially when he'd already said, like, what is it about your own kind that you don't like? And then now you're dressing like them.
You. Look at me. Look how look I look. Look at you.
Look at you. Look at me.
Look when I fucking kill you. He says, like, I'll be looking for you on the battlefield. And I kill you.
Yeah.
Spoiler, he does.
It's good. It's really good.
They basically like, if you surrender, you'll be spared. No, we're not going to surrender. They go back. And I love how when Katsumoto goes back, he says, well, they wouldn't surrender for us. So they're all like, ha, 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 idiots.
And my son, my 12-year-old son, pointed out, because he only learned recently how, like, in the very old days, like, the kings would ride in with the rest of the army and things like this. So he pointed out that Omura and Bagley go to the top of the hill away from everybody, whereas Katsumoto and Nathan are, like, amongst it.
Yeah.
Like, on the front, in
which
the
is,
front.
I think, is a big difference, like, really highlights well, like, the difference in old, like, more modern warfare. Yeah, no, the leader, like, the general doesn't
expendable.
Necessarily march in. Like, if he has to, he'll fight. He knows how to fight. But also, he's probably worked his way up. Generals usually work the way up.
Yeah.
So the fact Amura and Bagley aren't, like, you know, sort of symbolizes that
old school.
The new way is kind of a bit like, you're too important to be hurt. Mm.
And there's a million farmers you can get and give them a gun.
Exactly. Also, Graham's there. So Graham went back to the village and
with his camera.
His camera. He's like, how would you like to come back and photograph? So when, like, in the montage where they're all training and everything, see him taking photos of all the samurais together.
Which was real cute.
Which I was going to look up because I take photo, like, none of the, like, Katsumoto when they're on
there. Yeah.
But I'm like, I wonder if that's based on.
I was thinking that too. I was like,
photo.
I wonder if it is. And like, these people are actual people.
Yeah. Because we'll get into this towards the end. But yes, some of these characters are based on actual real life people in history. So yeah, big battle begins. Cannons are fired. So the way they basically do it. So Nathan's main thing, apart from fighting very hard for this side, he's also telling, like, he knows what their steps are, which is like the first volley of bullets. Then there'll be a second one and then they'll move forward. And so he's warning and he's like, you know, wait. And now they light.
But why are they shooting at nothing?
That's how battles
and
go.
And why
that's
were the samurai standing up? They should have all been like laying down and then none of them would have got shot.
I don't know. I think there's like this weird etiquette in modern warfare that still like exists today.
Just shoot.
Yeah, just.
The wood.
Yes. It's wild. Like, I don't understand battles at all. Like, I would chop off my own leg before you'd ever get me in a fucking war.
Same.
Yeah, no thanks. But the way that, knowing that they can't beat them with bullets and everything, Nathan's whole plan is, we're basically luring them somewhere where we'll have the advantage. Mm. like in the Spartan.
300, yeah.
Yeah. They actually light all these haystacks on fire, so the smoke gives them cover so they can actually retreat a bit. And they're like, ha! They
what was really cool was the cannons all firing, and Nathan knew exactly how far they could fire because he found that out from Amira earlier. So he knew that the cannons would fire and they would fall short.
Yeah.
But then when they changed the angle and then the second lot came over, yep, he did get a few of the samurai, which yep, I didn't like. But it was cool. It showed that Nathan did know.
Yeah.
He wasn't complete. Like he was using what he had to yeah, his advantage to help him.
Which is why he was brought there in the first place. But now he's actually using it for, side, for yeah, them for the better. So yeah, they go around, they retreat, and Bagley's like, oh, we'll send in some skirmishers. And Amira's like, nah, just send them all
what
in.
What are you doing? Just send them in. He's like, the fuck do you no, think we'll you send are? Scouts. Like, what the heck? He's like, nah.
Like, Amira, you wouldn't fucking know. You know, it's not like a mustache look good, whatever.
His inflated sense of himself.
And like, why is he giving orders? Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah,
at
dude,
all.
You own a train.
That railway guy? Fuck me.
Yeah, that's what I thought the entire way through the movie. All you do is own a train.
Like, yeah.
Come on, why is everyone listening to you?
So the full battalion goes in. The battle becomes really bloody and everything. Like Nathan's shot in the leg. Katsumoto gets stabbed in his side. Because then he says that he calls for more samurai. And then more samurai pour yeah, in. So I guess, I mean, there's probably all very good strategy to all this.
Yeah.
There's not enough of them.
Me neither. We're good at
what's
this.
The thing? If you had them all in there at one go and they all started getting killed, like you need fresh soldiers yeah, to keep coming, I don't know, rushing from the sides.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about battles.
Me neither.
They also, I think they have different flags. So these are all from different clans. So like,
yeah, there was guys that literally were just running around with flags on their backs yeah, trying to hide, which was so funny because they're hiding behind the hill. It's like you have a big stick with a flag on top
with all their different
waving to everybody.
Because something I would like to look into is I'm guessing a lot of the clans would have banded
together.
And,
yeah.
And but then the ones who were part of the rebellion have come together to.
Were they united by then? I think they were because this was the end.
Yeah.
Because do you remember there was like a whole big thing how, I'm going to say it again, I think Nobunaga was the one that united like not all the samurai but like united all the little sections.
Yeah.
That the daimyos were like in charge of. Like, yeah. So they're all together.
They had to. Even though they're used to fighting each other. They,
have to.
They because, have to. So
yeah, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, exactly. More samurais pouring in. Like Nathan and Katsumoto were like fighting back to back.
Very good.
And then like, yes, keep doing this. I love it.
Yeah, it's good. They're good little besties.
The Imperial, oh, they also like set this, you saw them making them in that montage where they
have these balls
covered in like tar. So when
and hay and yeah.
And they set them on fire and they end up sending the Imperial soldiers out retreating because, you know, they.
It was like a little bottleneck they had to yeah, go through.
And yeah, it's fucking terrifying and they don't quite know what they're doing yet. Like and Bagley's kind of like, I think this son of a bitch thinks he's going to win this.
Yeah.
So they retreat and so then there's another battle, which is basically the final stand.
Yeah.
Because I think this is what Katsumoto is
it's
like.
Just all the guns.
How many of the Spartans survived this as dead to the last man.
But they were smiling at each yeah, other and like, yeah, I like that. Yeah, like,
we're
that's
all
going to
die.
Do.
Yeah, but we're going to make our
with honor
points,
and yeah, we're taking a hell of a lot of them down with us.
Yep. So yeah, they basically the final stand and Bagley and Amira are kind of close by. So they actually managed to break through that front line.
Yeah.
Because they're riding on horses.
That's what I really
time,
liked is they at least learned how to use the guns. And yep, so like when they ran out of bullets, the next line would come up and yep, because I didn't know. I was like, how did this ever work?
Yeah, they'd have like, different lines of
yeah,
someone who's like into all this stuff is like screaming right now. Like
they're
fucking
hating us, you stupid dumb bitches.
I'm like, that's
look
me,
up what you're talking about.
I'm sipping my dumb bitch juice right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Like they're actually breaking through and it's a very sweet, satisfying moment where
oh, yes.
Bagley's like shooting with his rifle. It runs out so he gets his handgun and shooting and I think he manages to get Katsumoto one. And
yeah, our main characters, Katsumoto and Nathan, are getting shot
yeah,
a lot.
Nathan just gets his samurai sword and uses like a fucking spear and just yeah, Bagley
javelin
before he can actually shoot, like fatally shoot
just
Katsumoto.
Straight through the chest, off his horse.
Yep. It takes ages for him. Like you see for a few more shots, like he's just kind of going like, it's like
satisfying.
Pretty good. And I imagine that Nathan went back and just went, took his sword out. And was
yeah,
like,
good. Because that sword was made for him.
Yeah. He definitely would have.
Yeah.
Because your samurai sword's meant to be your soul, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Basically, the samurai overcome because there's some new guns that are basically like fucking mini guns.
Machine guns on like, wheels.
On little wheels. Like, actually, I think that's like a really sound way to have guns in wars.
Yeah.
Like, you, instead of everyone carrying them, they're these big solid guns and
yeah,
they just have a little.
I'm sure there's a correct term for them also.
Yeah.
But they're little mini guns on wheels.
and they have like a crank to like shoot the bullets out. It's actually pretty cool. And then the shiniest guns, they're brand new.
They're all shiny and pretty. I mean, not pretty, but they're shiny, the guns.
And they shoot, they're just fucking firing bullets and everyone's getting destroyed.
They're getting mowed down.
So this scene is just punctuated their by horses the non-stop bullets. What's the thing? You don't see all the horses fall, which is very like stressful because you see these horses fall, like some of them fall into each other.
How are the horses acting this?
Yeah, I'm like, it makes me a bit stressed. I wonder if that's, if nowadays they wouldn't actually show.
But it was 2003. I feel like they were doing stuff before then.
They were, but.
Because I always think about Milo and Otis, and I feel like, do you know how the cat and the dog and like all those cats died in the waterfall? Really?
The director, who was Japanese, was a very, very big animal person. No, they.
Oh my God.
That's all made up.
Oh my God. Kara, thank you.
Like, I think, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe some of them, but I don't think they died.
Not trying to just film them.
There were lots of.
My entire childhood was like destroyed by that. I was like, how can I love something that hurts so many?
Yeah, so there was lots of animal actors, but they were, it was, so they wouldn't overwork.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Kara. It's been the highlight.
I love revealing that to people.
I love that.
So yeah, they're all being shot down and, you know, both Katsumoto and Nathan are on the ground and they're in a really bad way.
I do like in movies how people have been shot like 500 fucking times and they can still have conversations and moments with each other. And then other, like if you're an extra, you just get shot once and you're out.
You get one shot in like the thigh, like, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're on the ground and
Katsumoto's eyes, again, they're golden. They're full of tears.
Yeah, they're so emotional. And also, meanwhile, the Imperial Army leader, who I don't think we really get his name either.
Yeah.
He was watching this and he ends
up, he's welling up as well. Because, he's like, this is fucked.
Yeah.
Because they're realizing this is war. They're just shooting these guys who are also going to come to kill them. But they obviously have the advantage with their guns. Mm. And they're watching these people die.
And also, they've spent their entire lives up until this point, like
samurai, the warriors,
to be respected and everything. So yeah, he ends up seeing fire,
and Amira is like, "What are you? What? No, keep going.
They have to kill him. We have to kill them.
What are you doing?" And he's like, "Cease!" And they did, which was
they stop. And so we have this moment where Katsumoto and I already feel the tears welling up my stupid eyes. I'm not even a crier normally. Oh my God. Love this movie.
I love this.
So yeah, in defiance of Amira, stops the shooting, and so Nathan and Katsumoto have this moment where
he's
I'll be fine. Katsumoto reaches for his short sword and Nathan's like, tries to stop him. And he's like, no, you need to let me have
this. Yeah, let me do this now.
And so he actually helps him.
Yeah, because he says, you have already found your honor from your way of life. Like, Nathan's found that peace within himself.
Yeah, let me have mine.
Yeah. You okay?
And yeah, stop it. I'm not crying yet.
I'm trying to narrate that she's on the edge.
I have a tear in my eye, okay?
Her voice is wavering.
As they do, helps him do seppuku, he's like, I will miss our conversations.
Oh. I know. I thought it was a really strange thing to say, though.
But that was how they met.
That was their thing.
They're like, they can't say.
They were guy friends being guys.
I love you, bro. It's
I love you, bro. Like, yeah, I will miss our conversations. Yeah. Yeah.
And also, and this is the bit that gets me, is when he sees all the cherry blossoms falling down, he says, perfect.
Oh, is that why he said perfect?
Yeah, because he saw the cherry blossoms. That was the callback to his thing about the poem.
Oh, my God.
He dies and he's like, he says, perfect. And he's, as he's laying back on the ground, he's like, they are all perfect. And I'm like, oh, no. And he dies, and it's the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life because, he's a very...
He was incredible. He was...
Yeah, like...
He portrayed it really well.
Ignoring, like, the true history of samurai and everything. Like, if we're just basing it on this movie, like, he was a very kind, dignified leader.
He was funny. He was involved with his community.
Yeah, and he's hot as hell, so...
Yeah. He was a dick to his sister, though.
But that was, like...
That was the way.
But also, he probably could have been worse to his sister.
He knew that she was going to fall in love with the ugly dude.
She's like, you're gonna be.
He's like, look, you're a widow now. You need someone to take care of you and the kids.
Yeah, that's probably.
I provided. Stop complaining.
Katsumoto was dying, the Imperial General takes off his hat and kneels, and then so everyone else does as well. Everyone just kneels down.
Yes,
and not just kneels, like actually bows.
It's like, you are the guys that just killed him, but
and because apparently, like
that's still respectful.
The real true life that this is taken from when the samurai leader died, there was statues were immediately erected, which still stand.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're still national heroes.
Yeah,
even though
everything was modernized. Yeah,
which brings us to the next point. So when have this emotional moment of seeing all of the other army kneeling before the fallen samurai. We cut back to, I guess, a few days later in Tokyo, and there is the big trade agreement with the US happening, with this like US representative representing the president and everything.
Yeah, with his big handlebar mustache.
Massive mustache.
You know what era it's from when you see it.
Yeah.
I bet every guy had one of those.
Yeah. If I could have a mustache, I'd have a big... It's like gross, you get food in it.
Yuck. Yeah, I have patients where I have to be in their mouths and try and move their beards out of the way. So I'm glad I wear gloves because I have to touch this facial hair to get your filling in.
I was sad, but now I'm gagging. Fuck. So Nathan actually interrupts before they can actually finish signing everything, and he presents Katsumoto's sword. He's like, I believe this is the last thing. This is what he would have wanted with his sword. He basically does what they were trying to do all along, which is maybe halt the westernization of Japan a little bit and remember your past and everything. So this is where the emperor goes, okay, while we will embrace the Western way, we can't forget our past and we need to...
Yeah, so symbolically by giving him that sword, he gave the emperor his voice.
Yes.
To stand up for himself. And
so yeah, he doesn't sign the treaty and yeah, that he basically cuts it off and...
However, why? Okay, Nathan was with the samurai fighting the army.
Yeah.
And then when we see him next, he's healed and he's back in his old uniform. Like, why was he not under arrest or killed because he was the enemy or like...
I think because...
Is it because he had that contract with Amira? Like, even though he went against it or...
I don't know. I think it was just...
He's just walking around now.
A case of... I think it's just the way...
Because he's not a samurai?
He's not a samurai. But also, I think it's just like, if Katsumoto hadn't died, I don't think he would have been killed on return necessarily back. Like, I think they sort of separate that from the people from the actual battles kind of... I don't know. I actually don't know. But yeah,
he's just movie magic.
Yeah, I guess. But I loved how Ember asked him if he was there as he died, and he goes, I was. And you know, Amira has like, this is ridiculous. Nathan says, if you think I'm your enemy, let me know and I'll gladly take my own life. Like,
I was waiting for that.
Saying basically I'm a samurai and I feel the same way that Katsumoto did. I love the bit where
the emperor turns to Amira.
And he's like, I'm doing this for the people. And he's like, oh, all I've ever done is for the people. And he's like, then how about I seize all your assets and disperse them to the people? He's like, you just honor me. He's like, well, if you don't like it,
you're so full of shame, here's the sword. Oh, I loved it.
Nathan's face was like...
Sassy little emperor.
Sucked in.
Yeah.
The emperor then asks Nathan, how did Katsumoto die? He's like, how did he die? And he says, I will tell you how he lived. And that's when I cry a bunch more.
That's good.
And that's good. That's it. And it ends with a voiceover.
Kara has a little sad face in her notes. It's a really sad little face.
My sad face. It's a voiceover of Graham saying that no one actually knows what came of Nathan. Some people say he returned to the US, that he died from his injuries.
We know what really happened.
Yeah, and they actually show what happens.
You can guess.
Where he returns to the village and you see Tucker and him look at each other and there's a fade out. And that's where I have my sad face.
Because you want to see the sex.
It's the fucking hot sex.
Why did they fade to black?
Yeah, so he gets to return and he finally found peace in his life, which is very nice. And I hope that he looked after Tucker really well and was a good role model to those little kids.
We know he was.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
Yeah. Like when he hugs the older son at that point, I'm like, oh.
So he was there for he didn't know what month it was when he's writing his diary. So he would have been there a good time. Because so we don't know how long he was there.
3 months. I would say he's probably there for 4 or 5 months.
But he was sick and unwell and going through like withdrawals before that. Mm. Like he would have been there at least a good half a year maybe.
Yeah. I
and then he goes back. And also he becomes very fluent in Japanese.
Yes. But he was so, also, they also,
he was also set a linguist.
He was a linguist, yeah.
Just had this little knack for languages.
Yeah. I wish I had.
And I'm oh, God. Me
shit
too.
At languages.
Me like, too.
Well, I'm Japanese for so long, I can barely count to 10 still. Like,
yep.
Christ.
Same.
So, yeah, what I was going to say earlier was about like what actual historical things this is based on. So, Katsumoto was based on Saigo Takamori. He led the Satsuma Rebellion in 1877. Like, pretty much what.
Literally, he was the last samurai.
Yeah, he was part of the head of the last samurai.
Yeah.
He died in the final battle in a similar way. I think it was one where like they did seppuku and his head was cut off. The other samurai took his head so it wouldn't, to make sure it was safe and so they could bury it with the body.
Yeah.
Later, because I worried that the Western...
When they're buried incomplete, it's symbolic for something.
So there, that was really interesting. Nathan Algren was inspired by Jules Brunet, who was a French army captain who fought alongside samurai Takayaki in the Boshin War. I started looking into that. I'm like, I need to stop.
There's so much. I love it. And the Americans did come to Japan and they said you like they were forcing a trade agreement with them.
Yeah.
And they were saying you have to do this or else we're returning in 1 year and we're just going to like kill you all. And that was the first time the Japanese even seen these ships.
Mm.
And they're like, what the fuck? So like, they were like, oh, okay. And then like things are happening and they're like, okay, you know, maybe modernizing isn't too bad.
Yeah.
But I just hate that America had to get involved again.
Well, it's this fucking ongoing colonization. Like if Japan hadn't have put their foot down. And Japan is, you know, a much, you'd say like, it's not as if Indigenous Australians or anyone didn't fight, but like Japan was a very warrior-based civilized society where they could fight them off, whereas, you know, Indigenous Australians.
They didn't have that desire in them. They weren't.
They were just they weren't fighting harmoniously amongst each other, in the world, in their place. And then these people come and just slaughter them all. Like Japanese were much better prepared for that than other nations. Good. But like, yeah, like you look at what happened in India and everything, like just why people are like, no, you got to do this.
Because you've got your spices and your tea and
they're
fought like there's no choices. It's like this is what's happening, we're gonna hurt you.
Yeah, you're all savages, so we get to do what we want. Whereas Japan at least had a chance to fight and and
they did have people showing them how to be an army, but it wasn't America, it was Prussia. What's Prussia now?
Prussia is like Eastern Europe.
Yeah, Russia, yeah. Right. So they had a Prussian advisor
because apparently even their uniforms were actually Prussian in the movie.
Cute. Like, I like the samurai
little
better.
Little boots and their little hats.
Yeah. We're watching it and Vinny's like, oh, I really like their boots. Not like that. He didn't like that. But he was into the boots. I'm like, yeah, this is a really cute little uniform. I'm like, the samurai were cooler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're just so cooler. Fearsome and just badass.
Yeah. Like the costumes and everything. Like we could spend a whole podcast episode just talking about.
Oh, even their traditional dress that they're wearing. I'm so into that.
And like just looking at the furniture in there, like their houses were lightly furnished and everything. And also like when she was in bed, she could hear Nathan screaming at one point. And like she had like army mats.
Yeah.
The pillows they had. Because I remember as a kid, mom saying, oh, the Japanese sleep like their pillows are like blocks of wood.
Yeah.
But it's actually
Egyptians used to sleep like that too.
But is a block of wood, but it has a special little round pillow. That's what you
like a neck support.
Yeah. So it was all fascinating to see and it was all done very respectfully and everything. So
yeah, that's what I did like about this movie is that there was a lot of, for 2003 also, like it honestly is a movie that could have been made this year or something.
Yeah.
That's, I was so surprised when watching the behind the scenes and Tom Cruise looks so young. I was like, he looks younger in the behind the scenes than he did in the movie. I was really confused.
Yeah, I think they really grubbied him up too.
They did. Like it looked so, it could have been a movie recently. And I think it's because, I don't hear about it ever.
And
that's a shame because it's a good movie and everything is done as far as from my perspective, really, really respectfully.
Like, I've seen
and
reviews.
Nods to stuff.
I've seen reviews where people are like, well, this is not what it was like at all. But I'm like, it's still Hollywood. Like,
if it was how it was like, that's a documentary.
Yeah.
And then you can watch the documentary.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you can watch a Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Like, you're going into this knowing that nothing. It's like when a book gets turned into a movie.
Yeah.
It's not going to be done perfectly. Just calm the fuck down.
Exactly.
Just enjoy the movie. It's 2 hours, probably longer. This was a long movie.
Yeah, it's 2.5
I thought I was done.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. And I was like, I've got to get to Brisbane.
There's a million things we could talk about, but basically, in summary, it's really beautifully done. It's done with
care. It explains things really well. If someone didn't know what samurai were and what they represented, it's a really good little look into it.
And a really nice mix of like historical drama, action adventure movie, and like, a few different genres kind of mishmashed together. And but it all worked really well, like a bit of romance. And not like a thing behind this.
I really liked
romance necessarily between a man and a woman, but like a romantic
view of everything, the way things happen, you know, like the cherry blossoms. And,
romanticized. Okay, well, this is a bit where we do Tom Cruise-isms. As per usual, haven't prepared a fucking thing for what Tom Cruise-isms. I meant to write this down. I said this is a real research one. Research in terms of I looked up a bunch of shit about samurais. As far as Tom Cruise-isms go, the big one would be running. Tom Cruise, I don't think, except for in the battle, not much running because most of the time he's injured for a lot of this movie.
Yeah.
And recovering.
But when they're first running into it and he's in the samurai, you know, and they're running together.
Yeah.
He's in the red and he's going for it.
Yeah,
he's gunning
it. Sprinting. You don't see Tom Cruise running with other people a lot. Usually, like, it's been in the last few movies he has actually had, and there's been two women who's actually kept up with him running, which is really cool. But, yeah, this is where everyone's running together because it's a battle.
Yeah.
Not just Tom Cruise sprinting ahead for no reason.
He was also on a horse a lot too.
Yes.
Like, so he wasn't really. I mean, not a lot, but in the moments where he would be running, he was on horseback.
So not a huge Tom Cruise running movie, but, you know, as Tom Cruise-y a run as you can be when you're wearing
in a samurai.
A 1,000 fucking pounds of samurai equipment. Man, that would might have been heavy.
I mean, yeah, when they were doing the behind the scenes, all the different pieces.
Yeah. Fuck. Other ones are stunts. Obviously, Tom Cruise did all his own
very
stunts.
Good.
As I said, anyone who's watches the scenes with him doing sword work,
yeah,
actually like really chuffed with how well he's done it.
Yeah, even Sonata was, yeah. Oh, of course he was, because he's perfect. But he was really impressed. He said like he was consistent and improving, and you know, like as his character was improving, like he was too.
Yeah.
Which is
and
cool.
Yeah, like Tom Cruise in all of his movies, like he never half-asses anything.
No. So and I do admire that.
Yeah.
Like I'm not the biggest Tom Cruise fan, but I adore your passion for him. I respectfully love it.
But yeah, like there's
but I did like him in this movie.
There's nothing
Tom I don't
Cruise
hate
loves
him.
More than fucking being in movies and making movies.
It's cute. It's really he was into it.
And like he has a lot of influence because he produces a lot of his own movies as well. Like he does have influence because I was watching this thing about talking about The Mummy and how why it flopped, and there was all these rumors going around that Tom Cruise wanted to interfered a lot with it. That's why it wasn't very good. I'm like, Tom Cruise has a lot of sway in a lot of his movies.
Yeah.
And they've all made lots of money. Like,
yeah.
I don't think this one suddenly, like, yeah, he does all his own stunts as per usual.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't know if he's ridden horses. He's far and away and stuff. So, yeah, he would have just learned all the samurai sort of fighting and stuff.
Actually, I did read. This is really cool. Yeah. This is in the Amazon Prime trivia.
Oh,
a little
yeah.
feature that you have, which yeah. I like it because I find it hard to just watch a movie. I just don't have the attention span for it. So this is like something else I can look at the same time.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm reading the trivia. And they were saying that in one of the sword fights, Tom Cruise was on a mechanical horse.
Yep.
But it malfunctioned and it didn't duck when it was supposed to. And love of my life, Sonata was like swinging a sword at him and stopped the blade from like getting Tom Cruise's neck.
Yeah, just.
What a man.
I would have had, like, I wouldn't have topped because they were dulled, but I would have fucking
that was cut hurt. Just yeah, like, smack it into him.
You didn't even cut him. Just like a fucking big bruise. That would have been.
Anyway, the control that he had over that.
Yeah. If you go through the IMDb trivia, there is a lot.
Oh, yes.
Which I'm not, we won't go through now because we'll be here forever. As you can see, what time we've... So, yeah, I highly recommend going through that. Like, there's so much interesting trivia about how they actually filmed this and, you know, the steps that they took to make this, like, a really nice project, basically.
Yeah. Like, they wanted to make it accurate, but it wasn't, like, obviously overly accurate. Yeah. Like, a lot of
it wasn't historically accurate in terms of what the plot
like the period
was, but,
and where it was.
Because they mixed in different elements of, you know, samurai culture
from
different periods a little bit
because,
as a general representation. Like, because they knew they couldn't do it perfectly, so they do movie magic version, I guess.
Which is enjoyable.
There's probably no other real Tom Cruise-isms apart from a little bit of running and all his own stunts. There's no drunken... Oh, no.
There is drunken monologue. There was
drunken,
a lot of drunk.
There was a drunken monologue at the start. Yeah, so, you know, there is a drunken... There is another thing.
Which I love because he was just like this little pissy man.
Yeah.
That's like the first introduction you get, this pissy little man with his whiskey and he's just sitting there all...
Disheveled. And,
yeah, just not happy with anything. Yeah. Life sucks. Hate the world. I was like, okay, this is going to be good. He's got good hair.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, my own fucking
you
Tom
Cruise-isms.
I need to have a list of them. I'm like, every time I do this podcast, I'm like, I should write this all down. And then I continue with my life until
and
the next podcast.
How many movies do you have left?
I'm like, 8 more movies. So fuck it. This is a Kara-ism where I don't remember to write a fucking thing down. Okay, in that case, we should rate the movie. Okay, so we should review the movie now. I fucking love this movie. I've watched it twice in this week and I actually probably couldn't fault it. I'm going to give it 5 out of 5. Jolly goods.
Oh, he was a treasure.
Oh, Nobutada, so
rest
sweet.
In peace, Nobutada.
Maybe if I thought really hard about it, I could think of things that could have been done a bit differently. But as it is, it's just a really enjoyable movie. What about you?
I was surprised, honestly. I did not go into it with high expectations at all. And I'm so skeptical of stuff like this. But I really liked it. And I'm mad at myself that I haven't seen it earlier because there's so many great Japanese actors in it that are in other stuff. And I love them in other stuff and I love them. So I'm also going to give it 5 out of 5 moist Katsumoto eyes.
Nice.
Because those eyes. Ooh.
Damn boy, those eyes.
Get him a tissue.
If you have got the DVD or Blu-ray and can watch the behind the scenes, there's like footage of him when they're at like premieres, like one of the premieres in Japan and everything. The way Ken Watanabe is fucking like pinching and like being really cheeky to Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise is like laughing, like he's obviously a prankster and everything. Like a little bit of footage we watched where they were laughing at something, and then Ken Watanabe was just like massaging Tom Cruise,
back massage amongst the cherry blossoms.
So cute. I love you both. kiss.
Yes. Yeah, that's probably the thing we could fault. There was not enough homosexuality in it.
Yeah, if it was some sexy gay undertones, that would have been, oh, yes.
Which there was in the Samurai Times. That's, oh. They could have probably addressed that a little bit more.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's my favorite part.
Okay, I'm going to look into this. Yep. We'll have a conversation about this later.
Yes.
Yeah, that's our review. 5 out of 5. If you haven't watched this movie and for some reason you've still listened to this entire podcast, good on you, I guess, but.
You should probably watch it.
Definitely watch it. It's not really streaming anywhere in Australia.
I had to buy it off, yeah. You can get it off Prime or Google Play.
Yeah.
$5 to rent it.
But I recommend just buy the Blu-ray because it's really, really good.
Well, I didn't know there was behind the scenes, so.
No, there's like so many, there's hours. I've watched it all once. It took me like 2 hours to get through it all.
So I know we have so many streaming platforms. I just forget that DVDs are a thing.
If it's not on streaming that. Or if it's a movie I love so much that I want to see behind the scenes. Like apparently Ben always laughs that I'm one of the few people left who actually still watches behind the scenes and all the special features. Like I love them. I love
watching them with the like the directors.
I've never watched a movie with a director commentary
when they talk over the top. I like it.
It's just that I get too into the movie. So there's a few movies that I've watched heaps of times.
It's like stop talking.
Yeah, but I should just do it so I can learn more about it. But I've just never actually done it.
Well, you should. You should go watch that.
I should go right watch now. All the Tom Cruise filmography again with the fucking, because Tom Cruise does a lot of them too. So
yeah.
Anyway, we could talk about this sort of stuff for hours.
Forever.
But we won't. Thank you for joining us again because I. After my big break, but I'm back now and we're going to finish this off with a big bang on the last few movies. I did a little 2-3 minute episode the other day where I talk about what the future of the podcast will be.
I heard that.
Once the movie is, once I've gone through the Tom Cruise movies. So listen to that if you want to hear about what the next stage is. I will continue reviewing movies involving Tom Cruise in some way. But for now, where can we find you on the internet?
On Instagram.
Yep.
If you really want to.
We do. Tell us.
If you really want to. I have an Instagram. It's @maxcalifornia_. It's just sewing stuff.
Sewing stuff. It's nice.
I just sew things when I have the time now.
That's fine. My Instagram's like for this podcast are like pretty basic. It's just like, here's a new episode. Here's a nice picture of Tom Cruise I found on the internet.
You've got to put Cara in her little podcast room here. There is a framed. There's many framed pictures on the wall. But there's a framed picture of from the Simpsons episode where Homer has it on his wall and it says.
Do it for her.
Yeah, but it says don't forget
the original.
You work here forever or something. Yeah. And then he's changed it with photos of his daughter and it says do it for her. But Cara's, and I've also found this template because I've made one for myself with a Korean idol in it. And it says do it for him and it's just photos of Tom Cruise.
That's it. Lauren made me that. Thank you, Lauren.
Oh, Lauren, you angel. Of course she did. Yeah. I love it. And it's the one of him laughing. Cara's also laughing.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good. Yeah, I should probably upload some of the.
You should. Weird, you need to use
my
memorabilia.
Easter eggs of all the Tom There's Cruise things Tom around Cruise this there. Room.
Yeah, you should. Oh, you should take a photo and have it like. Oh, competition, spot. Like how many Tom Cruises are in this room.
I should. That's a great idea. All right. Well, for me on social media, it's Tom Cruise Reviews on Instagram, Tom Cruise Review, no S, on Twitter, or just my website, tomcruisereviews.com. Whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, please leave me a review if you don't mind, maybe rate it even, and tell your friends. As for that, that's my grand welcome back. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
What a doozy.
Yeah.
Bye.